Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in Lenox, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I'm so very thankful, listeners, that you have decided to be with us on today's program, and I count it as a great opportunity and privilege that God has blessed us with, that we could spend time together with you in a study like this and consider what His Word teaches. I want you to know that it's encouraging to us to know that there are people like you that have a disposition of heart that are willing to sit down and study what the Bible says and consider what we say on the program. And I certainly want to encourage you, as I do every week, to follow along with us and make sure that what you hear is in harmony with the Word of God. I certainly don't want to preach or say anything at all or teach anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. And so you be sure to pay attention to what is presented on the program. If you have questions regarding what you hear, or if you have comments regarding what is stated on the program, you feel free to contact us at 234-5055. That's my personal cell phone, and you can call me day or night, anytime that you would like, and ask me your Bible question, or make a comment regarding the program, or whatever it may be, and we'll help you in any way that we can in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you're listening to the program and you desire that you would like to have a copy of the program on CD, maybe you'd like to have a correspondence course through the mail so that you can further study the Bible at your own pace in the comfort of your home, or if you're in need of a Bible, all of those things can be put in the mail and sent to you at no cost to you. It won't cost you anything. All you have to do is let us know that you would like to have that material. I also want to encourage you that if you would like to study the Bible with us, we stand at the ready to do that. You give us a call and we'll set up a day and a time to meet with you, and we'll sit down with an open heart and an open Bible, and we'll study together from the Word of God. And so we're so very thankful that you have decided to be with us on today's program. On today's program, I want us to talk about some things by which we are saved. If an individual asked you, what are we saved by? How would you respond to that? You may find different various answers to that. And there's a lot of thinking of what constitutes salvation and just how is an individual saved. But you know, the Bible lists some things by which we are saved. And I just want us on today's program to think about some of them and to understand that we are not saved by any of these things alone, but these things make it possible for us to be saved. I want us to think about that for just a moment. You know, sometimes listeners, individuals are quick to accuse those who are members of the Church of Christ as not believing that we are saved by the blood of Christ. And that's just simply not a right accusation. It's not true. We do believe that we are saved by the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ that makes salvation possible. The Bible says concerning the blood of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5 that He loved us and He washed our sins away in His own blood. In Ephesians 2 and verse 16 as well as Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says that we are reconciled to God by the cross of Christ. In Romans 5 and verse 11, the Bible says that through His blood we have atonement. That we have redemption, 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. That we have been redeemed, Peter says, as a result of the blood of Christ, or by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ, we have remission of sins. Remember that Jesus stated in Matthew 26 and verse number 28 that His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22 teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so the shed blood of Christ makes it possible for an individual to have the forgiveness of their sins. We need to understand that God wants all men to be saved. Listener, that includes you and it includes me, everyone. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that verse teaches us that God does not take pleasure in individuals being lost, that God is merciful, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all, not a few, not some, but that all will come to repentance. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says concerning God that He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's what God desires for you, is for you to be saved and go to heaven in the after while. And He's made all provision for that. He sent His Son, Jesus, into the world for that very purpose. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, that was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world, was to make a way possible that men could have the forgiveness of their sins. In the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And so there is no doubt that that's what God wants. There is no doubt that that's what Jesus wants. And in fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9 that Jesus tasted death for every man. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, notice what the Bible says there. Talking about Jesus, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but listen to Him, but also for the sins of the whole world. Everybody can have the forgiveness of their sins, and God has made that possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So make no mistake about it. The Bible teaches that we are saved as a result of the blood of Christ. But I want you also to understand and observe, listener, that none of the things that the Bible says that we're saved by in and of themselves saves an individual. Now let me make the point about that. Jesus shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary, but not everybody is saved. The shed blood of Christ, which was the grace of God, the sending of His Son, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 and verse number 17, God's grace appeared unto all men, according to Titus chapter 2 verses 10 and 11. But yet not all men are saved. Not all men are going to be saved. The Lord stated that in John 7 verses 21 through 23 when He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? And he said, yet will I profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now understand that not everybody's going to be saved. They can be if they will obey. But there's going to be individuals that in spite of the long-suffering of God, in spite of the mercy of God, in spite of the grace of God, they simply are not going to obey the gospel of Christ. Sad? Yes. But the reality? Absolutely. And so the point about that is Jesus shed his blood upon the cross, and yet not all men are saved. It was shed for all men, but not all men are saved. And so the blood of Christ being shed did not automatically take away sin. If it did, then everybody would be saved. But there is something that man must do. God did his part, Christ did his part, the Holy Spirit did his part, but there's something that we must do in order to have the forgiveness of our sins. So don't forget about that. So that's number one, that we are saved by the blood of Christ. You know, the Bible also teaches us that we are saved by the gospel. Notice, if you will, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, now I want you to notice what he says, as we think about things by which we are saved. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, now listen to him, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, verse 2, by which also ye are what? Saved. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And verse 5, that he was seen of Cephas and of the apostles. Now think about that. Paul says, we declared the gospel unto you, we preached it unto you, you've received it, you stand in it, and verse 2, he says, you're saved by it. So the second thing we need to understand, as we think about things by which we are saved, we're saved by the gospel. Did you realize, listeners, that the gospel of Christ is the power that God employs to save man today? Now that does not take away from the shed blood of Christ. But again, there's a number of things that the Bible says that we are saved by. We're saved by the blood of Christ. Now we're talking about being saved by the gospel. In the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is... Now notice it, for it, talking about the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In verse 17 he said, for therein, that is in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we are saved by the gospel. You know, the word gospel simply means good news. We're saved by the good news of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished and what he did for mankind. And when we obey that message, our sins are forgiven. So we're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by the gospel of Christ. Well, the second thing that I want you to notice is the Bible says that we are saved by the grace of God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, notice what Paul stated to those at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Notice what he says. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now notice this parenthetical statement. By grace are you saved. You ought to underscore that in your Bible. There is no doubt that we are saved by grace. Drop down to verse number 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And notice verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace. Grace simply means unmerited favor. It means favor or unmerited love that we did not deserve. but God bestowed it upon us through the giving of His Son. Again, John 1 and verse number 17. Without the grace of God, you and me and no one else could be saved. Excuse me. So don't forget about that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're saved by grace alone. That's not what that verse teaches. You know, there's individuals today in some religious circles that would have you to believe that we're saved by faith only or by grace alone. That verse doesn't teach that. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. The faith that obeys, or the faith that saves, listeners, is the faith that obeys. Grace made it possible for man to be saved. You see, grace appeared unto all mankind. Titus 2, 10 and 11. If grace alone saved, then everybody would be saved. But again, not everyone is saved. Are we saved by grace? Absolutely. Are we saved by grace alone? Absolutely not. That verse doesn't teach that. In fact, the idea of faith alone is refuted very clearly and plainly in James chapter 2. But furthermore, the Bible says that we are saved by hope. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 24. When Paul said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And so you get the point that the Bible indeed says that we are saved by a number of things, by the blood of Christ, by the gospel of Christ, by the grace of God, by hope. Notice furthermore that in Romans chapter 10 and in verse number 13, the Bible says in this passage, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are saved by calling on the name of the Lord. Well, you know, there's a lot of different thoughts and opinions today about what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. And individuals today in religious circles will say, well, if you want to become a Christian, well, you just call upon the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord, save me. Accept the Lord into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, and pray to God that your sins will be forgiven. That's calling on the name of the Lord. Just cry out, Lord, be merciful to me. That's not what the Bible says calling on the name of the Lord is. Now, think about this with me, listener. Are we saved by calling on the name of the Lord? Yes, we are. That's what that verse says in Romans chapter 10 and in verse number 13. But the question is, how does an individual call upon the name of the Lord? I'm going to show forth to you that calling upon the name of the Lord is obeying what the Lord said to do. You recall in Acts chapter 9, there was a man by the name of Saul, a man who stoutly persecuted the Christians and the church. He was on his way to Damascus, as recorded in Acts the 9th chapter, for the very purpose of persecuting God's people. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, as he traveled toward the city of Damascus, that the Lord appeared unto him. And Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jesus told Saul, arise and go into the city, and it'll be told thee there what thou must do. Well, he got up, he went on into the city. And the Bible says that Ananias came unto him. And when Paul was recounting his conversion in Acts chapter 22, Paul said in Acts 22 and verse 16, that Ananias said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins. Watch him now, calling on the name of the Lord. How did Saul call upon the name of the Lord? It's when he arose and was baptized. Why was he baptized? For the remission of his sins. Acts 2, verse number 38. To wash away his sins is what the verse says. Acts 22 and verse number 16. So we're saved by calling on the name of the Lord, which is to obey the Lord. Not just simply to say, I believe that God exists. James chapter 2 says that the devils believe that there's a God, but yet they're not saved. He says they believe and they tremble. It's not just to say, I believe that there's a God in heaven. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That an individual can believe that, listener, and still be separated from God by their sin. But it's when they obey the Lord. In the book of Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible gives us another thing by which we are saved. Titus chapter 3 And in verse number 5, he says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Listener, we need to understand, if it was not for the mercy of God, we would not be saved. We could not be saved if not for the mercy of God. You ought to read, when you have the opportunity, Psalm 136, and underscore every time that Bible mentions the mercy of God. In fact, that psalm says numerous times that the mercy of God endures forever. You see, God didn't have to make a way for man to have the forgiveness of his sins. He did not have to send Jesus Christ into the world, but he did, because of his long suffering, because of his mercy, because of his love. In Romans 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For yet when we were sinners, Christ died for us, that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," that verse says, Christ died for us. And so we're saved by the mercy of God. One more thing that I want you to notice in the program today, and that is the fact that we are saved by baptism. Did you know that? Did you realize that the Bible says we are saved by baptism? I recall, and I've shared this with individuals before, but I recall having a conversation with a gentleman at a convenience store, and we were talking about the Bible and talking about the very subject of becoming a Christian, how to be saved, and we began to talk about baptism, and he said, "We're not saved by being baptized." And I asked him the simple question, "Sir, are you telling me that the Bible does not say that we are saved by baptism?" He said, "That's right. The Bible does not teach that we are saved by baptism." So I just kindly pointed out to him what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few souls, eight souls, were saved by water." Now notice what he says. Verse 21, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now what? Save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." In other words, it's not just taking a bath. It's not just getting rid of the filth of the flesh. But it is an appeal to God for a good conscience, because we are doing what God said to do. Now, are we saved by baptism alone? No. I can be baptized and not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, what does that mean? That means that I go down a dry sinner and I come up a wet one. Must we be baptized? Absolutely. Does it save us? Absolutely. By itself, no. Is there power in the water? You know, some individuals say, "Well, you folks in the Church of Christ believe that there's power in the water." We don't believe that. We don't teach that. The power is in the blood. But we must be baptized to contact the shed blood of Christ, according to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Jesus commanded that we be baptized, Matthew 28, verses 18 and following, Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's for the remission, or the remittal, or the removing of your sins, to wash away sins, Acts 22:16. To be in the likeness of the death of Christ, so we can be in the likeness of his resurrection, Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. For by baptism we are buried with Christ, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12. We put on Christ through baptism, Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28. It is to be in the one body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13. And it saves us, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And yes, it's a commandment of God, Acts 10 and verse number 48, when the Bible says he commanded them to be baptized. So don't forget about that. There's a number of things that the Bible says we are saved by, and I hope that the lesson has been beneficial to you. Again, if you have questions regarding these things or comments, feel free to contact us. You're not going to inconvenience us in any way or offend us in any way. If you contact us with your Bible question or if you'd like to make a comment about the program, you feel free to give us a call. 234-5055. Until next time, thank you for being with us on today's program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.